Well, I'm going to read to you a letter we got from Salmon Panfi. And so I'm going to read the whole thing to you. It's going to take a few minutes, but I just think we ought to do this. And again, it's just two and a quarter pages, but we'll post it in the back of the bulletin board. And if you need something to refer to again, it will be there. But this will help us, I think, to pray for them. All right. Dated October 2nd, and he says, "Dear friends and family in Christ, we praise our Redeemer for his care of our lives and ministry. People around the world are afraid of the various situations and the pandemic, but the Lord comes and encourages us by saying, 'Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed.' As we feel tired, downcast, discouraged, with our strength coming to an end, the Lord lifts us up, saying that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. We are reminded by God of our responsibility and our place in the Lord's harvest. At times, we are tempted to look for numbers: how many are helped, how many I have taken to the Lord, how many, But God's accounting is different, and we are nothing because every fruit and result is the working of the Holy Spirit in the people's lives. The Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 3, that neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that gives the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. We thank each of you for being collaborators in this ministry. For only then can we continue with the call God has given us. With the imminent return of Christ, and as collaborators of God, we ask, am I a good steward of the resources of the time of our lives? Is it worth it? Are we running in vain the spiritual race? Are we spending our lives in vain? But over and over again, we are motivated by seeing the many fruits as a result of this ministry, whether at school, at the boarding school, the dental and the medical clinic, which I didn't know they had, but that's kind of neat. Personal counseling with the students, the parents, or the family members, and by means beyond our comprehension. For example, Hugo, a former student who gave his life to Jesus Christ when he was in boarding school. He now lives in the state capital, but his family members live in a small community 30 miles from the mission. He called us on the phone, saying that he wanted his family members to hear of salvation in Christ, and that in order to bring them together, he would come to his community to celebrate his birthday with a barbecue, inviting all family members, so I could share a brief meditation on salvation in Jesus. Before lunch, he gathered everyone for the meditation, but later, he asked that before cutting the cake, could we present again the plan of salvation in Christ. That's a birthday party. Romer and Jacqueline, a new married couple of former students, wrote to us asking for prayers and counsel because after they both decided to live for God and fulfill his principles, they began to have much opposition, persecution, and difficulties with neighbors and even with family members. But, in quote, we have decided not to go back, end quote, and their plea is for our prayers. There are many other students and alumni communicating by phone, electronic messages, and radio as the restraints imposed because of the COVID remain. Traveling and visitation is limited. They send prayer requests, messages, and they share testimonies. Classes were not resumed. When they were going to start over in virtual mode and of distance, a general strike by the teachers at the state schools across the country paralyzed everything. After more than a month of strike, the Minister of Education determined the closing of the school year, motivating new protests and complaints from the strikers. Interest seems to do anarchy and destruction. We do not know what the future holds, but we continue in prayer. Another situation that requires your prayers is the upcoming national election in Bolivia on October the 18th. The government that for 14 years was implementing socialism and communism, greatly damaging the nation, but because of fraud, lost its position, and it wants to return, even using illegal means and terrorism. Politicians' personal ambitions prevent unifying into a candidate, and this gives advantage to the previous government that has its system of fraud and favoring implemented from before. Only the hand of God can solve the situation. But we know that whatever happens will be because the Lord has allowed it. Finally, the Brazil-Bolivia border was opened so the missionaries Velta and Andina were able to return to the mission after almost 6 months in Corumbá, Brazil. God took care of them, and they're in fine health. We are grateful to the Lord for the great help that the missionary Marilene represents in the area of the girls' boarding school, the kitchen, and many other services. We ask your prayers for the missionary Roman Sack, S-A-K, who is in Curitiba to attend health problems. Our son Daniel had hernia surgery yesterday and appreciates your prayers. Help us in prayer for the members of the Ayurreo indigenous people. The new generation has a hard time finding a purpose in life. They no longer consider themselves indigenous, and they have difficulty integrating into the surrounding environment, seeking to survive with minimal effort and minimal work. They're easily trapped in the use of alcohol, cigarettes, coca, and to maintain addictions with minimal effort, depart for thefts and prostitution. The elderly keeps the faith, but the new generation considers that they do not need God in their lives, relying more on healers in sickness than on the Lord. God answered our prayers regarding Mario in a different way. He is the nurse's husband, but very against and gospel resistant, spiritus blesser and healer. He left Rincon, but we know that God can change even the hardest heart as we continue to pray for him. Now listen, the heat of 112 degrees Fahrenheit and the smoke from the uncontrolled, intense wildfires is overwhelming. Due to lack of rain, the plantations of beans, corn, cassava, and other products that help us in feeding students for free in the boarding school, it was lost. We praise our provider for his faithfulness in providing in unexpected ways, including sending food donations from unusual sources. Cattle are suffering from the lack of water, dams and the streams are dried, and the pasture is dry. One cow is butchered a week to feed the students. We continue to renovate, repaint, repair the school buildings and the dorms, the dental and medical clinic, the teachers' homes, and maintaining agricultural equipment, generators, electrical, and hydraulic system. You wonder what to do after lunch. Thank you again for your prayers, care, and part of this ministry in different ways. With thankfulness and appreciation on behalf of the missionaries of the Mission Evangelica Bautista Rincon del Tigre, and he signs it Samuel Jensen. We'll put it back here. There's a list of problems for you. I wanted to read the whole so we get a sense of the need that presses them. All right, we don't have a lot of time to look into the scripture before we pray, but we do want to look some. And I'll admit that this whole letter sort of got me wondering about their situation, about our situation, about the power of man, the power of man's government, the power of man's movements, and how it so often seems to be against the Lord. And with our election coming up, we just sort of wonder what's going to happen. Well, we remembered this psalm, this verse from the psalm, coming to church this evening, that where Asaph said, "The wrath of man shall praise thee." And what he's saying there is God uses even the evil that's in the hearts of men. And like Jeff was reminding us, it's just like waters in the hand of the Lord, and he turns it wherever he wishes. If he wants it to go this way or to go that way or another. It's no more difficult to God than that, is it? That's the picture in the scripture. We're down here below living in the midst of the whirlwind, and it's hard to keep our head about ourselves. And so it's good from time to time to think on things like this. What do we see in the scripture about the nations? And I realized that, you know, there is something that we missed about Moses when we were talking about the gospel was preached beforehand and how God has been giving pictures all along the way. We mentioned Moses a couple of times and just happily skipped on to something else, but I want to go back, if we could, for a couple of weeks, Lord willing, tonight being this thought about the wrath of man praising the Lord and God using as he wishes the nations. He uses them to his advantage and the advantage of his kingdom and the advantage of his people. Never forget that. Never forget that. And I think if anything is obvious in the book of Revelation, it's that. God's using all that is going on for the good of his people and the ingathering of his saints. Well, so what do we see in Scripture about the nations? You know, their power, their influence, their expression. God uses them to his advantage. Think of Joseph going to Egypt. And I mean the first Joseph, not our Lord's stepfather. I mean Joseph, Jacob's son, going down to Egypt. And eventually, what? Jacob does too. And the whole household goes down there. And God uses this breadbasket of the world to keep his people in the midst of all the difficulty that's going on and crunching the world, this tremendous drought and famine that goes on. And he uses Israel, or Egypt, to bless little bitty Israel. And then as they make a home there and make a life there, God blesses them in it until they become more numerous and stronger, really, than the Egyptians. And then we see that in that situation, as the nations begin to turn, as Egypt begins to turn against Israel, God is going to use this, and he's going to deliver right in the midst of this. There's an interesting introduction to this thought in the book of Exodus, and you can just write the reference down if you'd like. But it's in the first and second chapter. The first chapter tells us how Pharaoh had said to the midwives, I want you just to don't help the Hebrew women. Or what did he say? We're going to dispense with these male children. You know, let the females live, but kill the males. And, of course, the Hebrew midwives didn't do that. They said, no, we're not going to do this. And what they tell the king is, these Hebrew women, now they're nobler stock and they're stronger than you might think. And we by the time we get to the house, the child's already born. And what can we do? And that so blessed the Lord that he gave the midwives houses. Now what's not told here is that somewhere along in this, Aaron is born. We know that Aaron is 3 years older than Moses. We know that when Moses is born, that a new edict has gone out to throw the babies and the male children into the Nile. And again, Moses' parents, they thought, no, this child is there's something about him. He's a beautiful child. And so they, you know the story, how they protected him, put him in a little basket and floated him on the Nile when he got to the point where he's making too much noise at home. And I see in this a twofold effort. First, it was to kill the male children through the midwives, and that failed. And then we'd kill the male children through the Nile. And I think the first effort was the enemy trying to stamp out Aaron. And the second effort was the enemy trying to stamp out Moses. It's just my thought. You can't prove it, but it's my thought. And what we know is that the enemy was hostile against God's people. I bet he sensed there's something coming. There's someone coming, someone of importance, someone that will be doing damage to our kingdom. And so let's do what we can to snuff this out. But God has a way of keeping and protecting his own. And then you see Aaron saved. You see Moses delivered. Then you see them indeed grow up to be a great thorn in the side of our adversary and a real blessing to God's people. God is able to deliver right in the midst. It's a beautiful picture of God being able to deliver and to keep right in the midst of things. It looks like certain disaster. The whole nation is going to come to an end. And the Lord says, no, they'll live. They'll live. And eventually, if he has kept his people and deliver them in the midst of these nations, the time will come when he eventually will set them free from that nation. Now, we have a picture of that. And if you'd like, I lost my, there it is. If you'd like to look in the book of Matthew, the first chapter and the second chapter, you get some sense of this. And then you realize as the gospel writer, under the inspiration of the Spirit, looks back on that story, he says, you know, that really, really corresponds to what we see in Jesus. And of course, in the second chapter, you have the story of the Magi coming to visit the house. Now, by this time, they're renting a house there in Bethlehem. The Magi come in, they present their gifts, they have a dream to go back another way because they're told Herod is going to try to destroy the child. And so they go off in a different way. Another dream is given to Joseph, and he's told the same thing. You need to get down to Egypt where this boy can be kept safe because Herod's, etc. And off they go. Then Herod is what? He is enraged over this. He says in chapter 2, verse 16, when Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi, he became very enraged, and he sent and he slew all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all of its environs from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had ascertained from the Magi. And then that which had been spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled, saying a voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and she refused to be comforted because they were no more. He doesn't excuse, defend, or explain why God let this happen, does he? He just states it. This is the scriptural way. We can look at that and we can ask all the questions we want. Lord, why? Why did this happen? I can't imagine something like this sweeping through Nacogdoches. And every infant from two and under is just gone. Little Seth, gone. It's just unthinkable. And we look at this situation and we say, why, Lord? Why? Well, if we knew why, and we knew all the answers, we'd be God, wouldn't we? And we wouldn't need faith, and we wouldn't need to bend the knee, and we wouldn't need the comfort of God's Spirit. We just have it all figured out. But we're not told why. We just know that in the midst of this tragedy, like it was in the days of Moses, in that tragedy, God has a way of preserving what must be preserved. We'll see these little children someday. And parent and baby will be reunited. And then there's going to be this glorious reunion around this table. Where Abraham sits and Isaac and Jacob sit and all the martyrs sit and all the persecuted of the world sit and all the bruised and wounded and heartsick, and they're going to be there and the Lord's wiped every tear from their eye. But in the meantime, we live in all of this and we say, why are the nations so strong? Why does such evil stalk the human family, and particularly God's family? Why is it just the crosshairs right over the church of God, and it just says, like, just looks at times like it's fair game on Christians. Well, all we know, and this is where faith puts her feet down and steels herself and says the wrath of man is going to praise God. He is going to make this work to the good of all. And out of all that disaster in those early days there in Egypt, God brought forth the high priest and the deliverer of the nation. And out of this turmoil there in Bethlehem and all the ravaging that goes on there, God brings forth the Redeemer of the world. And the scales are tipped with mercy and grace and the goodness of God. Well, how do we get from Bolivian elections to that is a real head scratcher, I know. But just this, know this, that God is in control of all that we see, and God is making it all work together for some purpose. What is that? For good. For good. Oh, don't ever leave that. Don't ever lose that. Don't let that truth escape you. Don't let it just be placarded on some card from some well-meaning somebody. It's God's word, and let it burn in your heart. This will work to our good. Let's pray.